Hello, and thank you for joining us again at the Church of Apocalypse Video as we celebrate truly the most holy of months, Jesus Eri. Today, we will be reading from the Book of Python, chapter 19, verse 79, Life of Brian.
Everyone knows the glorious story of the child born in a faraway manger. Well, this isn't that story. This is Monty Python's all-new Life of Brian.
They call Brian.
He was born into the golden age of Roman rule.
Do we have any crucifixions today?
139, sir. Special celebration.
It was a time of miracles.
I was blind and now I can see. Oh!
Friendly persuasion. And gracious invaders. But there was just one thing on everyone's mind.
Sex, 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 that's all they think about us.
Oh dear.
In those days, getting stoned wasn't against the law. It was the law. And things looked bad.
The Romans.
For the people of Jerusalem.
Still a few crosses left.
Until Brian dropped in. He was a born leader.
Brothers, brothers, we should be struggling together.
We are.
A potential martyr.
What would they do to me? Oh, you'll probably get away with crucifixion.
Crucifixion?
Yeah, first offense.
And his mother's joy.
You mean telling them?
They think I'm the Messiah, Mum.
Ah! The Messiah!
There's no Messiah in here. There's a mess, all right, but no Messiah.
And now, it's up to Brian to deliver a despairing nation from the throes of oppression. Tough luck, Jerusalem. This is the life of Brian. Just when you thought you were saved. It's Monty Python's Life of Brian. He wasn't the Messiah. He was a very naughty boy.
Terrific race, the Romans. Terrific.
Well, all right, guys, we're in the express lane for the crucifixion. I'm just joshing you. We're going to the island. We got freedom. I'm your host, Dave. I'm joined again by my fellow, People's Front of Judea members or Judea's People's Front? I can't remember. Anyway, Ryan, I'm joined by Ryan.
I'm old. I can't see. I can't hear. I don't remember the line, but that's my favorite.
And I'm also joined by our one true Messiah, Michael.
Don't push the baby in the Savior's face.
So this may shock some of you guys, because I know this is a really, really popular movie. I have never seen
what?
Life of Brian before. This was what? My first time.
I never seen it either.
Really?
What? Neither of you?
No.
This is wild.
I certainly know of it, and I know
this
song.
Hold on. Can we just pause for a second?
This is the first time.
Because this is a movie that is like a big movie that everyone's seen, that I've seen, that you assholes haven't seen.
Take it in, Mike. Take it in.
Feels good.
Finally. Wow.
I've seen Life of Brian before.
No big deal. Yeah, no big deal. Well, cherish this moment, Mike, because you're not going to get too many of them. I understand it. You've never seen Stand By Me.
We don't have to get into it. You know, this episode is about Life of Brian right now.
Never seen Twister?
He's seen Twister. Oh,
You got me, Ryan. You had me. Well, Life of Brian, I'm just kind of curious, what are your alls? We always get into the our backgrounds of each movie. To get a kind of a general overview, we'll start with you, Ryan. What's your sort of history with Monty Python in general?
Well, it's a little bit of a black hole, I would say. I don't think I've ever even seen Holy Grail all the way through.
Oh, wow.
And I think it's just because, and I remember one time we were talking about like Napoleon Dynamite or something, and Mike, and you had like an aversion to it at the time, kind of.
Yeah.
Thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is definitely, I feel like I know what you're going to say. And it is the same thing that affected me with Napoleon Dynamite that ruined that movie for me. And I think does ruin Monty Python a lot, where you hear relentlessly the bits. Like, before you've seen the movie, you've heard all the bits by someone who's doing a bad job. Like, yeah.
Well, the thing is, I saw Napoleon Dynamite like in theater, so it was like a thing, and you're like, oh my god, what a triumph of a film, basically.
It was a cultural touchstone of the time.
Yeah, and so at the time, I remember in high school, probably a little bit before this, Holy Grail, and I still haven't even seen freaking Princess Bride because of the same reasoning, basically.
Haven't seen Princess Bride?
Still never seen it. There's like those two movies where there's the ones that were just orbiting of kids just like that loved them, and like that's I feel like the only movies they ever had seen, basically.
Well, it's a hype train. Like, honestly, the same thing happened with me with Lord of the Rings for years. Like, there was so much fucking talk about Lord of the Rings where I'm just like, shut the fuck up about the towers, about the fellowship, about the return of the king. I don't fucking care. And then, of course, eventually I saw it. I'm like, oh, these are great movies.
Yeah.
But I understand what you mean. Hype trains are dangerous things.
I think it's the comedies.
I think it's particularly bad for comedy because people who are into it, they like.
What do you mean you didn't get it?
There's a certain type of fan that's just basically repeating the movie constantly. You don't get that in like dramas or like.
Yeah, like
someone's
I like I hadn't seen like Rocky for a long time until I saw it in theaters for like the 80th anniversary of United Artists or something.
Oh, we saw. Yeah, I think we were together.
Yeah, and I was like, that was one of the greatest things I ever saw. The hype was worth it. That was like the best movie I ever seen, basically.
And you might get someone who's yelling like Adrian, but like you don't have someone basically quoting the entire movie at you forever.
Yeah. Like so there's a couple times like those like pile of shame where you're like, oh yeah, that is like the greatest movie ever, basically. But like in the comedies is tough, I think, and I think it's not necessarily like I'm avoiding it. It's just like. I'm just not, I don't know.
You're sick of hearing about it.
And Life of Brian wasn't one because it probably was the more hard-edged than the people that would have saw the...
Well, if I'm not mistaken, isn't Holy Grail PG?
I think so, yeah.
It might be, yeah.
So,
But I did. It's funny because I remember I had like a Flying Circus DVD set that someone gave me one time for Christmas, I think. So
Did you ever watch it?
I think so, like a little bit, but didn't quite get it.
It's tough. It's like the thing that like you have to give some credit for or whatever, or like go into it knowing is like it's sketch comedy from like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a miracle that any of it holds up at all.
I think so. And I think, all these guys I know, you know, it's like, that's the thing. Like I know all these guys and I know their kind of importance in the world. And
right. Famous James Bond character, John Cleese.
Yeah. You know, from Rat Race, all these guys were.
Yeah. From Rat Race, all the, you know, from all the big Mount Rushmore of film.
Like, I don't know. Like you know how many people like watching this. I mean, I won't get into it too much because I can see other people's background, but like, you're like, oh, like this is what the Simpsons guys all they took from,
yeah,
because this is just the Simpsons like live action, basically, like straight up, like every
aliens
joke.
Coming in out of nowhere,
yeah, or, like yeah, or just like the there's bits in the background and there's just nonstop. I keep talking about this, but like I feel like I'm not ready to talk about this movie because this feels like a movie that I need to watch three more times because I almost like in some ways I'm like I actually just had it on. Like a little bit ago, and I just put on like the middle because I feel like I like missed it or something, and I had to like kind of just revamp myself.
It is especially tough. Like there's frantic bits, and like, oh boy, do they have thick accents.
Yeah, and they're screaming, and so you get a little bit like like yeah. what you kind of like you zone out a little bit and then
and I'll say like the audio mixing is like it's a movie from the 70s that doesn't have the yeah. best yeah and it's so, not like we're getting like amazing sound like it's not like a Nolan movie but it's not like yeah. the it's not but a Spielberg movie
so it's so for a first time it's like this is what people probably feel like watching I Think You Should Leave Now, I feel like, where you're
yes,
like, what is
I
this?
I had that thought, too.
Like, what the fuck is this thing? What? Why is everyone screaming? I don't get it. And then I get why now people, they quote this shit over later, because that's the same thing. It's funnier later. It's funnier thinking about it and, like, revisiting it, I think.
Yeah.
So
there's, like, a, I think, if I can butt in yeah, for my, on. Like, that's thing. It. So I'm not, like, a Monty Python super fan or anything like that, but I've seen a fair amount of their work, and, like, I feel like there's, I don't know how it played at the time, but at least for me now, I feel like there's like, they're not things I really am like busting out, like laughing out loud. It's just like this like level of like charmingness and like silliness. And like, yeah, silliness is probably the best way of putting yeah. it, where I'm like, I usually have like a smile on my face, like the whole time kind of vibe. My first experience to Monty Python, I think was best case scenario. And he might be listening to this, but it was thanks to my dad. He, one time when I was like, I was, you know, age appropriate for Monty Python's, probably like 11 or something like that. He rented a movie and he was like, hey, we should watch this movie. It's this like, old historical movie. That's like, it's like a kind of serious history drama thing, but I think it's like well-made and you'll like it, about King Arthur. And that's all I knew, and put on the Monty Python's Holy Grail. And I didn't know anything about anything. I just knew like, oh, this is going to be like a serious historical drama that's maybe a bit dry, but like, and then just like the way that movie starts, I was like, what is going on? Like, cause that, I don't know if you remember, that movie starts with like credits, but then it's like there's a bit where like the person
people
who's like typing
flogged
the credits like getting fired no like before the movie even like gets into anything, I mean, there's like a credit
oh he's
bit.
Been sacked, that's what they say,
yeah, which is fired. Yeah, okay. Yeah. There's like some weird bit about like the guy who's like typing out the credits or whatever, putting the credits together, is like getting fired mid credit sequence, and then it opens with just the like the horse, you just see the horse, you know, and then eventually through the fog, you see that guy doing the coconuts. And yeah. I was like, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Well, because they had no money. Like, I guess, like, from what I'm sure a lot of Python fans know this, but it's like they had no money when they yeah. made that movie. And they
do,
wanted
do you guys
horses.
Know who put up all the money for this movie? Or not all the money, but like made this movie happen financially?
It was one of the Beatles.
George Harrison, a young lad from Liverpool.
Also, George
he's
was funding
he's an executive
this,
producer on the movie. He's
and
listed.
Then Lennon's funding the freaking, what's his name? El Topo guy. What the hell?
Oh, Jodorowsky?
Jodorowsky. He's
Lennon helped fund Jodorowsky?
Holy Mountain, I guess. He like gave money for that.
I never knew that.
That tracks.
Yeah. but yeah, so that, I mean, and yeah, so after that I saw like some of the, I've seen this movie. I feel like they have another movie I'm like forgetting of right now. Meaning of Life. Yeah. I've seen that. And I've seen like highlights, you know, I've seen like best ofs of their sketches, you know, I've seen some of the big ones, but that's one thing like I have wanted to do sometimes is just like watch the whole series. Cause it's not that long. I don't think,
well, yeah. Some of the bits feel like they're long, but
oh yeah, no, I would go into it knowing it's not gonna be like it's, you know, not gonna all be funny, but there's interesting stuff in there for sure. But what about you, Dave? What was your, because the way you talked about this, I thought this was like you were so excited to watch this. I thought this is
something
it's
interesting
you've
seen. Like as a kid of the 90s, I don't know if there was a resurgence of Monty Python and the Holy
probably
Grail in the 90s
cable,
maybe
bet,
there was or
Comedy
I don't know
Central
what
or something.
That, you know what? Yes, that probably what it was, because I remember this played on Holy Grail played on Comedy Central all the time, and it's an hour and a half movie. It's a movie that you can fit into pretty much any like time slot. You know what I mean? And yeah, like this is a movie I remember. I hate to say this, but I was probably that guy on the playground, like doing every fucking bit from the movie, driving some people like Ryan crazy. like the Knights Who Say Knee and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck is the Knights Who Say Knee?
You know,
no,
I'm gonna say
it now, but
Knights Who Say Knee was never one of my favorite bits.
But that's like, okay, this is what I was remembering though. Because like, we talked about this before, watching Simpsons, the things you watch as a kid made you laugh differently than the ones stuff you watch now with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like home, like the Bart doing stuff and like Homer like falling is the stuff you remember as a kid. And that, like,
well, it's like, it's interesting. Wall, you know? Like, the, honestly, I think a lot of the little things in this movie, Life of Brian, were, and that's pretty much my history, by the way, Holy Grail, and that was more or less it. But like a lot of what struck me was a lot of the little things are what made me laugh the most in this movie. Yeah. Like when Brian, when the Centurions throw, like, bring Ryan in to see Caesar or the guy or whatever, and they're like, oh, do you want us to throw him on the ground? He's like, oh, yes, throw him on the ground.
Yeah.
You know, like they're making fun of like those tropes, that imagery.
Hail Caesar.
Hail.
Only one survivor, sir.
Ah. Throw him to the floor.
What's it?
Throw him to the floor.
Ah.
Though that totally is, I'm 100% with you. That's my favorite bits of this movie, especially is like the little tossed aside lines, like, yes, like my intro line where they're like walking, like it's like the Messiah is walking through the crowd, like, don't push the baby in the Savior's face. Like,
well, and like, it's funny, like you said, Ryan, there's a, you could see the connective tissue for writers, like writers on The Simpsons who take inspiration from Python, like you might, like what Mike's saying, like the crowd scenes where like, oh, our Messiah, they're talking about things, it's like, and there's always one guy in the background like, I'm not.
Yeah.
please listen, I've got one or two things to say.
Tell us one of them.
Look, you've got it all wrong. You don't need to follow me. You don't need to follow anybody. You've got to think for yourself. You're all individuals.
Yes, we're all individuals.
You're all different.
Yes, we are all different.
I'm not.
It's straight up like SpongeBob shit, like my leg, yes, like that kind of shit,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
it's, and so like
you can definitely see the influence of this in like, well, a certain
people
strain
getting
of comedy.
Slapped, like moments where a person gets like when she slaps the baby in the beginning, like Brian's mom, like shut up,
yeah.
Just like little moments like that are the little things are what made me laugh the most. The elongated bits of like making fun of like speech and stuff, you know, like those tire pretty quickly for me.
It's one of those things though, like where probably the comedy is like it goes so long.
What if I told you that one of the members of Monty Python had a stutter and he had a speech impediment and like later in life, like put up like a charity and everything to like help people with speech impediments. Yeah.
Wow. But because it's interesting, like, it seems like the tenets of Monty Python, at least some of the movies I've seen, like are, and I guess this is the thing, they're a comedy troupe, so they're playing like all the roles. Like they're playing like dozens and dozens of roles throughout the
it's
movie.
It's like between,
but, like,
even like edits, like between, they'll be like between like scenes. It's like John Cleese in one costume and then it cuts to like his face to another face.
John Cleese is like, Monty Python members have said this, but like he's best used, he's used well in this movie for the most part, and I think he's like they put him in like any role that he would be like a silly authority figure. That was like
always the authority figure.
Yeah, he's always like
he's tall as hell, you know.
Yeah,
it's because like Frankenstein sitting there, you know.
And he has a way of talking that like he's good at doing like funny like flowery dialogue.
Matthias, son of Deuteronomy of Gath.
Well, I say yes.
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 You have been found guilty by the elders of the town of uttering the name of our Lord. And so, as a blasphemer, you are to be stoned to death.
Look, I'd had a lovely supper, and all I said to my wife was, that piece of halibut was good enough for Jehovah.
Blasphemy! He said it again! Did you hear him?
Like, I just, because I was just rewatching part, and like, when the Romans, they take Brian after, it's the scene after the big, which is probably the best angle in the movie, best shot out their window, and the whole town is there, you know, saying like that followed him there the day before. Yeah. And he's kind of escapes, and Judith is with him, and they take Brian away, the Romans do, and she's like hitting him, like hitting John Cleese. in his back as he's walking away, and he just turns around and goes, "Stop that!" Like, it's just like, and it's just edit, like cut, you know. But it's like very much like so. That's like the you're right. The funniest little stuff is the little throwaway moments.
Well, I think the little moments are what got me, and just the overall. I think one of my favorite moments in the movie is when Brian is trying to run from the Romans. He falls down on this guy, like the line of doomsayers, the different lines of doomsayers who are giving the prophets of doom, and he has to pretend to be like a, you know, giving out wisdom and stuff like that. And it, one of my favorite parts of the movie is when everyone mistakes him for the Messiah and he runs away, and he just keeps trying to tell them, like, he's basically like, you people are stupid. Like, we're all individuals, you know what I mean? Like, stop. He's basically putting down, like, religion and higher power, this or that. Like, you're all individuals except for the one guy.
Would you be surprised to hear that the members of Monty Python were very not religious?
I am not surprised at all. But again, this kind of goes back to, like, a lot of my thoughts when we talked about the Passion. Like, how quickly people, like, for instance, he drops his shoe. And they all take that as a sign, like, oh, it's a shoe. And then you start hearing squabbling, like, no, it's not the shoe.
Yeah,
it's
so funny to you immediately see, like, the Protestant-Catholic divide or whatever, where they're like, no, it's the gourd. It's the...
He has given us a sign.
He has given us... A shoe!
The shoe is the sign. Let us follow his example.
What?
Let us, like him, hold up one shoe and let the other be upon our foot, for this is his sign that all who follow him shall do likewise.
Yes. No. The shoe is a sign that we must gather shoes together in abundance.
Cast off the shoes! Follow the gourd!
No! Let us gather shoes together! Yes. Let me!
No, it is a sign that, like him, we must think not of the things of the body, but of the face and head!
Give me your shoe!
Get off!
Follow the gourd! The holy gourd of Jerusalem!
The gourd!
Hold up the sandal as he has
commanded
us!
It is a shoe!
It is a sandal!
No, it is not a shoe!
Cast it away!
Put it on!
And clear off!
Take the shoes and follow him!
My favorite things, again, the connective tissue, like Simpsons writers, like suddenly you start seeing, like, people are holding up poles with, like, shoes on top of them and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, those visual gags are the things that work the best for me. I think my favorite moment in the movie, now we're going to get into the Wasn't It Funny
Chris Farley Show.
The Chris Farley Show. We'll try to keep it as brief as possible. Is that low angle where he's he's trying to run away and he's trying to tell them, no, you're individuals. Like, think for yourselves. And eventually he just gives up. He's like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
And there's that pause. They're like, how shall we fuck off, my lord? And it just perfectly encapsulates all my problems with religion and how easy it is for someone to take something the wrong way or perceive it in a certain way that's completely off base. And suddenly it becomes an ideology, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know. I mean, when it was so funny in this movie, like when you added this, because I was like, I didn't know Life of Brian was like a, you know, Jesus satire, you know, I think,
yeah,
you know, at all before getting into this.
We should mention Jesus only has a cameo in this movie.
Well, that's what it's one of the best bits, I think, in the movie. And maybe it's
blessed all the cheese makers.
Yeah, like only my knowledge of, you know, Jesus stuff. There's a lot of things in here like I don't are going over my head as far as like
I feel like that when you see story. Jesus in the cameo, it's basically him doing like the Sermon on the Mount, and the bit is they're too far away to hear what he's saying, which is like it's a smart bit because it's like silly and it's like a funny bit, like, oh, they're too far away, you can't hear because they didn't have like microphones back then. But it does like immediately get into kind of the theme of the movie where like they're too far removed from this to know exactly what he's saying.
It's
pretty
genius. For how silly it is, it's pretty incredible. Some of
it's like
stuff.
Right away, like getting into the theme of the movie.
Well, I think I think the satire and that and the statement on that is spot on. Like, again, like I said, my favorite line eventually is just like, "Oh, well, you fuck off," and they're like, "How shall we fuck
well,
off?" You know what I mean?
I could have believed like that is really funny. The bit in it's the very first scene where the wise men, it's really serious, arriving at the manger. Apparently,
oh yeah, they could go to the wrong house.
They go to the wrong house, and it's so funny because it's like they're there, and you think it's going this thing, and then I thought it was just funny. Like, oh, this is gonna be about Jesus, but his name's Brian. And that's like the worst name possible is Brian, the name of the Savior. And then they start coming back, bring grabbing back their gifts, the you know,
frankincense
and myrrh and all that. And then it cuts back out and like there's the Mangers outside the door and it's like,
yeah, and they all
glowing.
Have like halos. It's so comically like obviously Jesus.
And that's like the funniest thing. That is like very funny. Like that, and it's, yeah, that's probably the highlight of the movie because I guess that's as far as I know with this stuff. All these other little stories, I guess
just for the sake of people who there are, I'm sure there are people who listen who sometimes they don't watch the movie, they just listen to the discussions, and that's perfectly fine. Brief little synopsis. While Jesus is being born in that other manger, there's a manger down the road where Brian is born.
Yeah.
And eventually he'll grow up. He'll hear of Jesus. He'll hear the Sermon on the Mount. You can't quite hear it, though. Blessed are the cheesemakers. Is that what he said? And eventually, he's just like, I hate the Romans, too. And he tries to get in with people, like, to try to stop the Romans, to fight back. And over the course of some zaniness, he gets captured by the Romans. He escapes. He ends up being mistaken as a Messiah. And he tries to reject it. He gets captured by the Romans again. He gets crucified. But you know what? It's all right. Because you got to look on the bright side of life. And that's how the movie ends. There you go. There's your synopsis, folks. You didn't watch the movie.
That is my favorite bit of the movie. Like, I it's like the one thing that's like so famous and it has been done to death. But like, just think about it. Like the guys on all the crucifixes just singing, always look on the bright side of life. Like, I just love the idea.
Catches
like,
on, okay. John, or Eric Idle's like, come on.
Yeah. Like, okay. So what if they now burst into song? Like it's. It's so good.
I can't imagine. I mean, it's a wholly different world in, was it 76? Is that what
79,
it was?
79, I think.
79. And, like, if you saw this, especially if you were, like, growing up.
There would have been nothing like this.
You would have
I guess Monty Python, but it's
yeah,
like.
Yeah, but,
know.
Like, to, like, get to this, like, it's pretty.
I mean, Mel Brooks is the only, like,
yeah,
the only comparison.
Yeah, thing.
But I think, like, them going, like, he's going after, you know, what, like, monster movies and westerns. And there's definitely jokes like this in those movies. But this is, like, straight up, like, no, fuck God. fuck religion.
Well, it's like
punk,
to
think, you know?
To get into the song at the end because
yeah, Mel Brooks is
thing.
Like Rawhide is silly.
Yeah. Yeah.
To get into the end of the movie, which is arguably the most famous thing from the movie, look on the bright side of life. I mean, I'm sure people have heard this before, but this is a common song played at funerals. You know what I mean? And it's kind of a thing I've thought of recently where it's just like everyone always talks about, oh, what happens after death, blah, blah, blah. No one ever talks about, well, what about before life? You know what I mean? What is before life? Like, is there just nothing? And one of my favorite bits of the song is like, you know, you come from nothing, you're going back to nothing, so what'd you lose?
Yeah.
Nothing. You know what I mean?
that is a great.
On the bright side of life. And it's basically being like, hey, life could be fucked up. It's like sometimes look at the bright things. You know what I mean?
It's legit good lyrics. Like it's like a funny and touching song.
It is. And I get why people play it. At funerals, it's like, you know, look on the bright side, you know?
Yeah. For how, yeah, you're right. Like, for how, and this is kind of reminding me of, you know, South Park guys, like with like the Book of Mormon and stuff, of how like a lot of Mormons thought they were going to hate this play, and maybe they still do, but it is sort of hopeful in this kind of weird way. Like, that play kind of comes back around, like, into like the positive kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know. Like, they're definitely taking a lot from these guys, too.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it.
Because for how like cynical, like, and I think people that take a lot of the cynicism from like stuff like that, like South Park, but there is like every once in a while, there's a little bit of like shine to it, you know?
Heart.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Not all the time, but sometimes.
I also think some of the other themes they touch on in this is just like, you know, the hypocrisy of things and like this, just this, not only of like religions, but just like organizations. Like there's the whole thing of like the bureaucracy of just like, all right, well, we're going to rise up. We're going to do this and that. It's like, well, hold on. Let's talk about what
I was trying to figure out. Like, are they making fun of like, it seems like I'm trying to think of like the contemporary thing they're probably like making fun of. I was trying to think like, I think it was like, a lot of like left-wing like revolutionary groups, I think they might be trying to like parody a bit.
Well,
like,
especially
it feels very specific.
Like there's a bit where it's like, all right, we're gonna break in, we're gonna kidnap this guy and demand some things. And I love how they're breaking out the plan. They're all going in, and then it's like, except, you know, we're all going in, Except for our leader, who had a bad back. He's like, all right, guys, good luck.
Now, this is the Palace in Caesar Square. Our commando unit will approach from Fish Street under cover of night and make our way to the northwestern main drain. If questioned, we are sewage workers on our way to a conference. Ridge, our glorious leader and founder of the PFJ, will be coordinating consultant at the drain head. Though he himself will not be taking part in any terrorist action, as he has a bad back.
Aren't you going to come with us?
Solidarity, brother!
Oh, yes. Solidarity, Reg.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh, like Brian on the cross, you've come to rescue me. It's like, no, he pulls out this scroll. He's just like, thank you for your martyrdom, essentially. It's going to really mean a lot for the cause.
Yeah. They're another one, when they're listening, how much they hate the Romans, and they're talking about all the things that they provided.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen that one before, yeah. Ryan?
That whole sketch before?
Yeah. I feel like that's a clip I've seen, like,
I don't think I've seen it. No. I mean, I've seen, I've seen bits like that.
That's a pretty funny, yeah. They're like, what have the Romans ever done for us? And then someone's like
irrigation.
Irrigation? Well, apart from the irrigation, well, sanitation.
Oh, I love the one guy says,
the aqueduct.
I love the one guy says peace. He's like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah. Pretty funny. Yeah.
I think a lot of it does hold up. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of stuff, like, again, like the, God, they really love lisps. Like that is like the height of comedy. Also, cross-dressing, like, they can't get enough of that. And oftentimes, for me, like, leads into bits that just, like, it's like, okay, guys, well, like, come on.
I thought it was kind of fun. I couldn't tell. This is why I want to watch it again, because they have, like, you know, Caesar, it can't. All his
biggest stickers.
Yeah, that's funny.
He's doing an Elmer Fudd voice.
Yeah, like with
Pontius Pilate. He's 100% doing Elmer Fudd.
But I think other people are doing it too. Like, they're not pronouncing the R's and doing W's in the movie, I think. Like, it's not just him. I think it's everybody in the movie. Like, I was catching it, like, bits and pieces. And I can't be too sure, but I think it's, like, a thing. Like, everybody is not pronouncing the R's and going Wurgles or whatever, you know?
Several seditious scribes from Caesarea. 67.
Let me speak to them, Pontius.
Ah, good idea, because
citizen, we have Samson the Sadducee strangler, Silas the Assyrian assassin, several seditious scribes from Caesarea.
There is, like, yeah, I mean, there's definitely stuff that, like, doesn't land for me, right? Like, it's not like every bit in this, at least for me, was like a success. I mean, obviously, like, there's the one bit that's, like, kind of famous from this, of like the trans joke that's like, you know,
I want to be called Loretta.
Right. It's basically, the joke is like, someone's trans, but like, and not that I'm like one to weigh in on this, but it does feel like they're like more, it doesn't feel as mean and more just they're trying to be silly. Like, I don't know if they're trying to make any statement on, because it's 1979 and I just don't think they were
true
thinking
there,
about
there is
that.
That second time it comes around, though, which is sort
it
of,
does come
sort of
well,
nice.
Well, they make like a
nice
feminist joke, and then Eric Idle is Loretta's like, hey, he's like, oh, sorry, Loretta.
Yeah.
I mean, the silver lining in it is they do, like, all acknowledge her as a woman.
Yeah,
actually,
he calls her Loretta.
Yeah,
but I have, like,
crazy.
I've seen that bit, like, on the internet from, like, anti-trans people be like, man, Monty Python knew back then, you know, like, so it's clearly at least enough that, like, shitty people embrace it. And plus, you know, John Cleese, I don't know specifically his views on trans people, but he I don't know if you're familiar with John Cleese, but he was like a lifelong liberal guy who got old and cranky and is now really upset about the woke mind virus. And, you know, he started touring with Rob Schneider around like COVID times.
Boy. This is why
like,
I'm worried
doing,
about
like,
us. What the hell's going to happen? What is it going to be that's going to stop us?
You know, for context, I mean, John Cleese is 4 years older than Joe Biden. He is an old
man. Oh, wow.
Man. And I will say, also for context, like, I think John Cleese just lost his mind because he was like, it feels like John Cleese of younger John Cleese would not like old John Cleese.
John Cleese. Yeah.
Like, random thing. He described in like post-Trump, described the Republican Party in the United States as, quote, the most cynical, most disgraceful, immoral people I've ever come across in Western civilization.
I think it's that's why I think it's just a case of the world of just people getting fucked up by, you know,
something happens when you get old and rich.
I think so. He's anti-Trump.
Well, he's very anti-Trump. Yes,
but he doesn't like the woke mind virus.
Yeah,
see,
yeah.
He doesn't like a case the woke of just like hearing bullshit. You know,
he has described Trump as a narcissist with no attention span who doesn't have clear ideas about anything and makes it all up as he goes along, which is pretty, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like a bummer because like I remember hearing Eric Idle on Conan. You know, Conan O'Brien needs a friend, and like he kind of describes it as like it's essentially a big bummer. He's like, yeah, he's my friend for a long time, and he tries to be very diplomatic about it.
Oh,
he's
about just, John Cleese?
Yeah, he's just like, we, you know, disagree on a lot of things, you know, like that. But anyway,
yeah, I mean, he's an interesting guy. He also like turned down being knighted back in the day, which I respect a lot. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think he got old. I think he got old and rich and got afraid about the world changing underneath him and afraid.
Yeah, not really part, like he was, you know, leading the charge or something, or felt like that at one point, you know. And it's
right. Now he's an 85-year-old man and he doesn't have his finger on the pulse and he's, yeah, it's a shame. But yeah, it's a shame that like people use that bit in like a negative way because I bet that's not even how they meant it back then. I don't think if you had asked them, they were like their goal in that was like to make fun of trans people. I think they were trying to just be like, yeah. I mean, I think it was a silly
it's like,
bit.
It's also like it's Ed. Yeah, it's pushing stuff. You know, it's doing things that are different. But I don't know. Like you said, it's sort of becomes not is. I mean, yeah. Like you said, also not really the one the way on it, but it becomes a little bit like. Like there's almost like an apology for the joke later or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but that's also a joke in itself too. So I don't, it's a bunch of stuff, but I don't know. It's the same kind of people that like say like Blazing Saddles. You can't make fun of like racing.
Right. You could never make Blazing Saddles today,
which is, it's just these people were, They think they're different than they're. These are the only movies these people watch too. They don't watch other things. They don't read other things. You know.
So. Yeah.
Anyway, not to get on high horses.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I want to try
Saddle
to
up.
Limit. I want to try to limit the amount of Chris Farley. Oh, wasn't this funny? You know, like do you remember when? Was there anything? So, like, do you guys remember? Was there anything about the movie? Like, so we kind of got into one angle. Was there anything that like? Didn't work for you other than the, you know, sometimes, but anyway, was there anything that didn't
work? I think
for
like
you?
Some of the, it's like something like most bits of comedy that's so rapid fire. Like, I think you should leave is like this, too, sometimes where it's like, there's a million jokes a minute and some are landing, some aren't. But there's such
it's
a barrage.
Loud and abrasive, you know?
Yeah. And it's, but like, there's such a barrage that like the average is really good and I think that's like all that matters.
It feels like a movie where you have to learn its language. That's why I feel like I want to watch it like more and stuff. Or these guys,
British English.
Yes,
there was a moment I'll admit where I debated like, should I just turn on the subtitles?
So I had this debate too. Like I normally watch movies with subtitles. But I
comedies are
don't,
tough for it. Yeah.
Yeah, comedies are tough. Yeah. It's
well,
tough to watch
so rapid fire,
and it ruins the jokes. You'll see the joke before it happens. So I didn't with this, but I wanted to because I definitely was missing a lot of, especially like what the mom was yelling. Like,
her voice is crazy.
I do want to point this out again. Trying not to be the Chris Farley show, but again, like Simpsons like gags where. We didn't mention this, but the movie kind of opens sort of like, screw this Sermon on the Mountain crap. Let's go see the stoning. Yeah. And there's like, apparently women can't go to the stoning. So there's like beard salesmen, fake beard salesmen.
Yeah, and
they're
selling rocks too.
And they're selling rocks.
Yeah. And then, of course you do like the natural conclusion of the bit where they go to the stoning and it's only women in beards that are there. Yeah.
So that's the thing. It's like, I don't know the context of, and this is of women can't be at the stoning. Is that like a thousand?
Oh, you don't know about ancient Judean stoning law? Yeah,
I guess I
well, and, like those are the bits that like the historical bits that made me laugh when they're poking fun at those historical bits.
I get it as it goes on. I'm like, okay, that must be the case. But like, I'm guessing if I knew it, it'd be hilarious. You know?
The craziness of that, but also just like, you know, it cuts to the Colosseum and it's like, They refer to it in cryons as like children's matinee.
Yes.
And you just see people walking through, like taking out the blood chunks just and like clearing out the
bloodiest chunks. Yeah.
And you got Brian, who's basically just selling essentially peanuts. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I got peanuts. Hey. You know, like those, you could, again, you talk about that comedic connective tissue. I see that where people would, like Simpsons.
The text jokes. There's so many text jokes that I think you can draw the line from that to the sign jokes of The Simpsons that are so good. Like, there's the children's matinee thing, which is so funny. There's even in the beginning where it's like, you know, ancient Judea, 33 AD. Saturday afternoon.
Yes.
Tea time.
About tea time.
Like Saturday. Like
there's something funny about Saturday afternoon.
I don't. They never reference like the day of the week in these things. You know, these old. It's just. In The Simpsons, it would be like that guy, like, hey, I get a couple of rucks here. You know, come on. Like, I don't know whose voice that is, but it's probably.
They got rocks there, not like these rocks.
The idea of them making fun of the concept of haggling. Like, there's so many scenes where Brian's like, I need to get out of this jam. Like, here, just take the thing. The guy's like, well, wait a minute. You don't want to haggle? It's like, well, what's wrong with the thing? Some of it isn't even breaking down, like, big ideas. It's just taking on, like, you know, concepts like haggling or shit like that.
Yeah, it's pretty, like, yeah, it's one of those things, like, at the time I'm watching it, and you're like, yeah, you're almost, like, annoyed by everyone yelling, and the mom's voice, and all these things, and you're just like, I can't keep up with this, but and then all of a sudden you kind of settle again, and that's what I mean by, like, the language of it.
Yeah. And not then, like, all of a sudden, English. You'll get a line where it's like, oh, go home, Romans, or, like, why do you follow orders? And then you have a line like, I like orders, you know? Just like it, like, resets. Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think, like, if I got in the... Yeah, that's why I like watching it again. I think it'll be like... Right now, I'm just like, huh? What is this, Reggie? And then later, I'd be like, oh, this is amazing. This is hilarious. I can see really getting into this movie.
I think the movie really does, like, for me, the bits are better. I think the movie as a whole kind of steps into a second gear once once Brian becomes the Messiah. Yeah. I basically, like, there's kind of like two parts of this movie where one is like the Messiah bit, and then one is like the liberation, like liberation movement thing. And I feel like that stuff has the more like dated jokes or like uncomfy jokes, like the trans joke and stuff. But then once you get into like the Messiah, I feel like it's also like a clear vision of the movie too. Like, it's more about like clearly like what they kind of wanted to get into with this movie was the like Jesus stuff.
I think I agree. I think it kicks, because there was a moment when as he's getting chased by the Romans and the People's Liberation Front or whatever, or the People's Front of Judea, where it's just like, okay, guys, like it's getting a little, you know, move on. I think it kicks into a higher gear when he becomes mistaken as a Messiah. Like, I think that's when the movie really sings for me.
Yeah, pretty funny. Like the line of crucifixion people, and that's all crazy, and like they're getting taught how to carry the cross and all that.
I love the like really polite guy who's leading all the crucifixions.
Right down there, right to the left.
Next. Crucifixion.
Yes.
Good. Out of the door, line on the left, one cross each. Next. Crucifixion.
Yes.
Good. Out of the door, line on the left, one cross each. Next. Crucifixion.
No, freedom. Mm-hmm.
What?
Freedom for me. They said I hadn't done anything so I could go free and live on an island somewhere.
Oh, well, that's jolly good. Well, off you go then.
Nah, man, you're pulling your leg. It's crucifixion, really.
Oh, I see. Very good, very good. Well, out of the door.
Yeah, another way. Out the door, one cross each, line on the left.
Line on the left, yes. Thank you. Crucifixion?
Yes.
Good.
Well, I don't think this was like the most hilarious thing I've ever seen, but it was a pleasant surprise. Well, not a surprise. I mean, I've heard of the movie. It's pretty well regarded, and you know, as far as comedies go, it's a comedy, and as we said, it's rapid fire delivery often. So there's a lot of stuff that doesn't land or kind of goes on a little too long, in my opinion. But I would say overall, I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it got better in the second half, and I don't want to get too much into recommendations yet because you guys probably have more to say. But like overall, I thought I really enjoyed this movie. It was fun. It was lighthearted enough, and I could see why it you know the legacy of this movie has lasted so long.
Yeah. I mean, I'm feeling the same way. It's hard to kind of just pinpoint little things. We've kind of gone through it all, but yeah, it's one like at first I'm just like I don't know if I got all that. Like I felt very.
I think Monty Python has like always kind of lended itself to rewatches. I mean, there's a reason why like the fans love watching them over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
There is like it's so fast, like with the jokes and those accents, they're thick.
Well, and you know there is a benefit to having such rapid fire stuff and so many things as. As Rick McCallum would say, it's so dense. There's so much going on. Like it lends itself to rewatches, you know, because to see all the things in the background or the foreground, you know, things you may not have noticed, yeah. Little bits.
Yeah. What, and knowing what's coming, like knowing like the big moments helps the little moments in those.
How good is the Terry Gilliam like intro sequence? I love that stuff. We didn't talk about the
opening animation.
I could watch a whole movie of that. It's so good. That guy should make a movie, Terry Gilliam.
Yeah, he should.
Whatever happened to that guy? Wow. He should make a movie about Don Quixote. You know what? I bet that'd really work out.
What about Time Bandits? Some sort of...
Yeah. I guess it's like one of those things. Like at the time when I got in, like when I was, you know, a kid, or like, you know, maybe not even quite a teen, but like, I was more exposed to Mel Brooks at the time. You know?
Same.
And
so
I think
yeah.
that's like
the classic American British divide.
Well, and also, it's funny. I still love Mel Brooks, but like going back and rewatching some of the movies I loved as a kid, like specifically Robin Hood Men in Tights, a lot of that, in my opinion, does not hold up.
Well, that's just stuck in the 90s, though. Like,
because
like,
it's 90s humor.
I think Robin Hood Men in Tights is not considered like Mel Brooks at his
peak. Well, it's certainly not his best. No, well, I think traditionally, a lot of people, like popularly, are just like, the 90s. I mean,
in
Dracula,
any,
almost loving
comedy,
it.
There's not that many people go back to unless it's, you know.
No.
Yeah, the 90s was not the best.
It's like
time
Dumb and
for
Dumber.
Comedy.
And like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Wayne's World.
Wayne's World,
there's
maybe.
Something about Mary.
But even that, yeah.
Yeah, like I actually will throw out there, I don't know what Mel Brooks movies I've seen. I've seen the History of the World.
That's one I haven't seen.
I haven't seen yet. I've seen like live productions of Young Frankenstein, but I've never seen the movie.
Blazing Saddles, Mike?
I haven't, no.
It's pretty amazing. I think that's one where I watched 100 times and I laugh about thinking about it too, but it's also, that is more... That's almost in a way is a little more Looney Tunes, and so it was easier. It's like American as hell,
especially the end of Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, for me to eat, like I was able to, like I got it, like I was able to understand it, like you know, at the time, like where this is just like they're talking about shit, like I don't know, like I didn't go to like Sunday school to like get this stuff.
Ryan, remind me, have you seen Monty Python or the Holy Grail?
Well, it's one that I was like, I probably have seen the whole thing, but it's not one I like had on.
Have sat down
like,
and watched,
sat and watched
kind of
it
thing.
All the way through. Like I've started a handful of times, like at night, like I'm like, trying to go to sleep and stuff. And like one of these days I'll check it out. I don't have it marked off as watched on the letterbox because I want to
back and check it out. It's definitely funny. Again, very the same, exactly like this rapid fire, a lot of things going on. And you could see, you mentioned, I think you should leave. I feel like you could see the connective tissue
between all the movies. Monty Python, the Holy Grail is my favorite for sure. There's like a rough and ready quality to it. Mm-hmm. It's definitely lower budget than this movie. Like I was this movie, I was kind of impressed by some of the
budget too.
Yeah. Yeah, like they did, it's like shot well. There's like they do cool like zooms and stuff. That's like really. It reminds me of like Wes Anderson zooms.
That shot of like out the window of Brian's house, and it's like the whole town is there in that crowd. Yeah. And it's like a very wide shot, but like going down the hall, there's a million people standing there with like the woman with the gourd in the front, and it's like it's some of the funniest angles.
It's probably more people than we ever saw in The Passion of the Christ. To be honest.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
We should point that out. Like, this is a well-made movie, I think.
I think so.
And this is back in the time when comedies were 90 minutes. You should not exceed 90 minutes for a comedy. I'm sorry. You overstay your welcome every time.
What about the space?
Well, yeah, this it's funny you say that because this movie is not 90 minutes, Dave. It's 94 minutes. So I think that's like perfect to cut out the problematic trans joke. And then we would have been at a clean 90 minutes.
Basically the Terry Gilliam animation.
Animation. No, keep the animation. Okay, yeah. So Ryan's edit would keep the trans joke, but the animation.
Oh, you know, one thing we didn't mention, speaking of cut things, there's the whole thing, the inexplicable thing where, like, I forget their name, but they're essentially, like, Nazis that come in at the end, and he thinks they're there to save him. I don't remember their name in the movie, but did you notice? The Kaiser something or other. They have, like, the
oh,
spike
like at
hats
the very end when he's on the cross?
At the very end. Evidently, that was a whole thing that they cut, because they're like, this isn't working. But it was one of those bits where it's like, oh, crap, like, they're there at the end, and when like Judith comes and talks to him, like all these guys are dead on the ground. So it's like we can't really take that out entirely. So they just kind of come in at the end. You're like, who are these people?
Yeah.
So it doesn't really work. But I will say this, and this this is a weird thing. Like, oh, this is one of my favorite things in comedy, but I love it. And this happens more often than you'd think. But I love it when you have like dead people that suddenly like come alive for the purpose of a joke. Like, for instance, when they start singing the song, Always Look at the Bright Side of Life, you get a quick cutaway to the dead soldiers, but they're still kicking like their, you know, to their feet to the beat. I love stuff like that. But that said, it's an odd inclusion. It's one of those like unfortunate things where an entire subplot was cut, but for the purposes of continuity, they kind of have to stay in there. A vestige of it has to remain in order for connective tissue in other areas to work.
Yeah. What about we didn't mention those two aliens. They look like the freaking one-eyed aliens from Simpsons.
Yeah, Kang,
whatever. They like accidentally.
That's a good pull. That is like really similar.
Like because they basically, he jumps off the tower, right?
Or you think he's
I feel like
die.
That's the thing with like Monty Python where like, they will never let implausibility get in the way of like moving the plot along.
Yes.
So I feel like that's just a thing of like, like they're just writing the movie and like, okay, he's jumping out of the tower. Like, how does he live? Like, how does he survive? Like, what if like aliens came and like picked him up and then dropped him down somewhere?
And it's the most ridiculous thing. They literally have an alien to alien space fight, like outside of the orbit of Earth. And they end up crashing back down to
it's
where
like
he's
so
where
implausible. Part of me too is wondering like, this is 79. This is after Star Wars. And then maybe just like getting like a space bit in there.
Yeah, I think that's it. And then also like, are they reference, like, was there already like ancient alien stuff going on like at this time probably, like for people?
I mean, there's that whole thing. I mean, the History Channel has made their whole thing of like aliens built the pyramids.
Yeah, they had the History Channel.
The big thing with ancient aliens was Chariots of the Gods, which was a book that was in 1970. So that, Eric von Daniken was the writer.
So maybe that's what they're kind of hitting on a little bit, like a tiny little poke at that. Maybe. I don't know.
Could be. I do like that the ship, their spaceship, like it looks so cool. Even like the crash spaceship. I was like, man, this is like, not that it looks like real or anything, but I'm like, man, this looks so cool. Like,
well,
this
just I gotta salute them for their resourcefulness, not having a ton of money. The movie basically almost didn't get made without the intervention of George Harrison of all people. But I gotta say, I salute them. It looks good. Like, honestly, like there were some shots I was very impressed with.
Yeah. It's definitely, especially if you're like me, like most familiar with Holy Grail, it's like such a step up. Like Holy Grail Holy Grail is great and it looks fun, but it looks so cheap. And
this feels more expansive than Holy Grail
did. Dicks in Holy Grail?
No.
Says it.
No. Well, like we said, like that was a PG. I was not expecting the dick to show up in the movie.
Holy
I was
Grail,
like, oh, wow.
Holy
he's
Grail being
showing
PG,
it.
It's not like it's like family for kids or something. Yeah, it's just like, it just doesn't, you know, happen to have anything in there that's like that intense.
There's no F words or anything like that.
No.
Yeah. I love the reading this, that this got banned. So, and then they had to, filmmakers promoted it. So funny. It was banned in Norway. That's pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, it was blasphemous, Ryan.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure, like, if you were like a little altar boy watching this, you probably were like, this is the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen. And they're like,
oh, do you think in the 80s and 90s, like Altar Boys were circulating this tape? Like, hey, dude, Jerry, did you see this movie, Life of Brian? Like, yeah, I got it on the download. Like, keep it a secret.
you know what's funny, though? Ever. I can't imagine Mel Gibson as an Altar Boy having that reaction.
I think he probably like this. I don't know.
He was probably the one who was like calling the priest, like, hey, father, they're passing around this tape. Yeah.
Well, it's Mel Gibson likes orders. Yeah. I like orders.
Yeah, how does this compare to old Passion?
I think I'm going to throw out there, maybe I'm going to take a lot of heat for this.
Not to cut you off, Mike, but Ryan, is that the thing with Jesus You Wary? Like, are we going to compare every movie we watch to The Passion?
Oh, well, I guess to each other. Like, you know, this is only the second one.
That's it.
Well, maybe I'm going to take a lot of heat for this, but I think I prefer this movie to The Passion of the Christ.
Hear, hear.
I will say, though, this is pretty relentless, like Passion of the Christ is a little bit.
Just yeah, swap out way. Torture for jokes.
Yeah. And like yelling and like, ah, hear, 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 ah, hear. A lot of that. Like everybody.
And somehow this comedy from the 70s, while problematic at times, is less problematic than The Passion of the Christ.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah, if we're getting into recommendations, I would definitely recommend this. I think it's interesting to see. You could see the origins, I feel, of a lot of comedic threads that would come up and pop up over time as people who watched this and were inspired by this would go on. Simpsons, I Think You Should Leave, you know, things like that. It's interesting to see the origins of a lot of comedic language that maybe we take for granted today. You know what
just
I mean?
Like, yeah, like in I Think You Should Leave, just like having, I mean, it's always been a thing with sketch, but just having like a really just obnoxious character, like repeating things over and over again and stuff, and it's just like where it's just so annoying and then it becomes funny is like kind of half the things in this movie, which is crazy. I don't know. Yeah. It's just like like the mom, so annoying the first part, and then like I thought it was really funny later when she pops up and they're like all like, oh, hail his mother and stuff like that, and like it was, so it came back around and I'm like, why is it a man that's playing the mom? Like, I just, like, I had that stuck in my head for a little bit. Like, why? Maybe just because it was supposed to be an ugly person. That's basically why, I'm guessing. So they didn't want to succumb some woman to that.
Well, Ryan, would you recommend Life of Brian?
Yeah, I would. But like I said, it's, I love watching stuff like this, like history of comedy kind of things. And it's one I'm excited to watch again just to kind of like get it more. Cause I feel like I missed half of it. You know, so I was a little probably lukewarm on it, but even talking about it with you guys has made it warm up a little bit. So,
Well, Mike, what about you?
Yeah, I'd recommend it. You know, like some caveats of like, I don't know, sure. It's generally a movie that I recommend. I think it's like, it's interesting. It's like, it's not like a knee slapper, so to speak, but I think it's like, it hits more than it doesn't. And the second half is really good. Like, I feel like it really does kind of like get into it's a certain rhythm by the second half. And like you were saying, Ryan, I think some of the jokes like start to come back around, or some of the bits start to come back around in a way by the second half that ties it together. So yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'd, it's
like a light recommendation.
It's a light recommendation. Yeah,
I think it matters to the person. Some people that just like, they'll hear one thing and they're out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
These freaking woke mind virus. People with the woke mind virus. I'm joking.
Yeah, people with the... I wouldn't recommend it to people who are diseased with the woke mind virus.
Yeah. That, exactly.
Well, when Jesus Ari returns, we're going to be flipping back to the more serious side again, but hopefully a little less problematic than our first entry. When we return with Jesus Ari, we'll be witnessing The Last Temptation of Christ, a film by Martin Scorsese. Or is it Martin Scorsese?
I don't know.
I feel like I've heard it say it's Scorsese.
I think it's pronounced Marty.
Yeah, Marty.
Yes, by Marty Scorsese.
Just Marty.
Excuse me. It's actually Marty, please. Okay.
Just call me.
All rise. Go out go out, what do they say, like, when service is in?
I don't
like, go
remember.
Out.
I saw it just black out, you know? I just know, I remember, our God is an awesome God, you know? When you're feeling in the dumps, and that's Dave.
Always go out. Look on the bright side of life.
Yes, please, all rise and go out into the Sunday afternoon, always looking on the bright side of life.
Make sure, drop
we'll see
a,
you next Sunday.
Yeah, have a donut.
Have a donut. Be sure to drop your gratuity into the basket. We need it, folks. We need all the gold we can eat, as she says, the mother says in the movie. Final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene. Give the audience a grin. Enjoy it. It's your last chance anyhow. So always look on the bright side.
Hail Messiah!
I'm not the Messiah!
I say you are, Lord, and I should know. I followed a few.
Hail Messiah! I'm not the Messiah. Will you please listen? I am not the Messiah, do you understand? Honestly!
Only the true Messiah denies his divinity.
What? Well, what sort of chance does that give me? All right, I am the Messiah.
He is!